Hello, boys and girls. I'm your Peter Pan storyteller.
This is the story of the last starfighter.
This is the story of Gremlins.
This is the story of Tron.
This is the story of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
This is the story of The Empire Strikes Back.
You can read along with me in your book.
You can follow the story along with me.
Every time you hear this sound...
Every time you hear this sound...
Turn the pages when you hear this sound.
You will know it is time to turn the page when you hear the computer sound like this.
Let's begin now.
You got the touch. You got the power. Yeah. After all is said and done, you never walk, you never run. You're a winner. You got.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of When You Hear This Sound, brought to you by the Space Monkey X Audio Workshop. This is your host, Rob Lamley. Hasbro's Transformers debuted in America in 1984. However, virtually the entire line of 28 Series 1 toys had been previously released in Japan from Takara Toys under either the Diaclone brand or the Microchange brand. By 1986, Hasbro had mostly run out of Takara Transforming designs, so they began to create their own, ushering in a new era for the toy line. The split was marked by the release of Transformers the Movie, which traumatized an entire generation of kids, just so Hasbro could break away from paying a licensing fee for the old Takara designs. Since 1984, the franchise has never really gone away, expanding well beyond toys to find its way into several iterations of comic books, cartoons, role-playing games, video games, novels, board games, and of course a multi-billion dollar box office movie series. At this point, the toys are almost an afterthought, quite honestly. But way back in 1985, when the Transformers were still fairly new to the American toy market, Kid Stuff Records put out a few different tie-in albums for the burgeoning franchise. They released three read-along record books, When Continents Collide, The Satellite of Doom, and Storms of Destruction, as well as a long-play story album titled Attack of the Decepticons. In 1986, they would release two original read-along record books, Jaws of Terror and Slaves of the Insecticons. But they also released two other record books, The Great Car Rally and The Battle for Cybertron, that were adaptations of books released by Marvel Comics as part of their Big Looker Storybooks line. However, in the mid-80s, vinyl was becoming less common as cassette tapes and even compact discs were starting to take over the musical landscape. While Kid Stuff did release some of their albums on these new formats, it was also clear that VHS was starting to gain a foothold in the kids' entertainment scene. To that end, Kid Stuff began releasing some of their read-along record books on home video as the See and Read line of tapes. The videos consisted of images of the read-along record book pages using the audio from the record as narration that would be spelled out along the bottom of the screen like subtitles. The camera would pan around and zoom in onto the page to emphasize what was happening in the story. In the show notes for this episode, I'll put links to some examples of See and Read videos that are available on YouTube so you can see how this process worked. According to my research, Kid Stuff released about 8 See and Read videos. Two were generic sing-along tapes of kids' music standards like Yankee Doodle Dandy and Old MacDonald Had a Farm. There was also a simple letters and numbers tape for purely educational purposes. For the read-along record book releases, there was a Rainbow Bright tape, a G.I. Joe tape, one for DC's Superpowers toy line, and two Transformers tapes. One featured When Continents Collide and Satellite of Doom, and the other had Jaws of Terror and Slaves of the Insecticons. I can't find any sales figures to determine how successful this move to VHS was for Kid Stuff, but if you search on eBay, you'll find plenty of copies available, so they must have sold fairly well at the time. As far as my Kid Stuff Transformers collection, I have the long play story album Attack of the Decepticons, the read-along record books When Continents Collide and Satellite of Doom, as well as the See and Read VHS tape that features both of those stories. I'll add some photos of these items to the show notes so you can check them out. Before we get to today's record, I wanted to let you know that this will probably be the last episode of When You Hear This Sound for a little while. I rebooted this podcast back in March of 2023 with episode number 17. We're now on episode number 53. That's 36 episodes in nearly 18 months. Unlike a lot of podcasts, I haven't had seasons where I'll put out a bunch of episodes and then take a break, so it's been a constant grind of new episodes every other week. It's been a lot of work, and quite frankly, I'm pretty tired, y'all. During this time, I've had other creative projects that have been put on hold while I focus on When You Hear This Sound, and I think it's about time I put this one on the back burner and give those projects a little more attention. This doesn't mean the end of the show forever, though. I still have plenty of records to share from franchises like Knight Rider, Indiana Jones, The Flintstones, Spider-Man, The Fantastic Four, and Looney Tunes, just to name a few. To that end, I'm probably going to transfer to a seasons format like a lot of other podcasts do. That way I can get a few episodes in the can and release them in a trickle as I work on other projects. So, keep your eye on your podcast app for more audio adventures from When You Hear This Sound in the future. In the meantime, check out spacemonkeyx.net and see if any of my other podcasts might interest you. They've all been neglected while I've been working on When You Hear This Sound, but I plan on putting out new episodes of those shows soon. You can also find me writing about my pop culture collection over at spacemonkeyx.com. And with that, let's get to today's record. We're going to check out Transformers Satellite of Doom from Kid Stuff Records, released in 1985. As usual, the read-along record book has been scanned in and made available in the show notes over at spacemonkeyx.net. And until we meet again, enjoy.
Hi, everybody. This is your Transformers read-along book. Every time you hear this sound, it means it's time to turn the page in your storybook. Now, if you are ready, we will start the story Satellite of Doom. Don't forget to turn the page every time you hear the sound. Megatron, the evil Decepticon leader, stood on the observation deck inside the tremendous 200-square-mile cavern. It had been hollowed out beneath the fiery surface of Africa's Kalahari Desert. Next to him was his aide, Soundwave. The din of monstrous earth-moving machinery working forced them to yell.
How much longer are we going to have to stay under this merciless desert, Master?
Yelled Soundwave.
As long as it takes to complete our task here!
Megatron snarled.
I was only asking, Master, because this blasted sand keeps getting in my cassette drives and it's fouling everybody else's transmissions too. Well, us Decepticons, at least.
That is why we have lured these thousands of greedy carbon-based humanoids here to perform the excavation and loading of the chamber for us there, using false promises of vast wealth and then making them our slaves. Ironically amusing, isn't it?
It's certainly one of your better jokes, all-powerful Megatron.
Moments later, the roaring turbine drives of another huge Decepticon coal transporter filled the air as it ended its long journey. As the tons of coal spilled out, slaves worked like ants, bulldozing it to those parts of the chamber not yet packed from floor to ceiling.
What volume of coal is inside now?
Megatron demanded.
400 billion cubic yards, Master. It's the largest single concentration of coal on this planet.
Only two more loads to go, and then we can proceed with the next phase of my plan. Are the lectinite charges in place and primed?
Well, Master, almost. You see, the sand and transmission problems...
Almost?
Everything will be completed on time, mighty Megatron. The entire cavern will be filled within a cocoon of lectinite explosives, just as you ordered.
Your worthless mecha-life depends on that, Soundwave.
Skyfire, the Autobot Air Guardian, screamed in low over the lifeless figure lying on the desert floor, and then shot straight up into the sky. Skyfire's coded signal filled the Autobot Command Center, where an impatient Optimus Prime, the fearless Autobot leader and his right-hand Prowl, listened intently.
The Decepticons are out there somewhere, Prowl. I know it. We tracked their transport to the area until it disappeared from our screens. What vicious scheme can the evil Megatron be hatching now?
Perhaps that Earthling lying out there holds the answer, Chief.
He's totally unconscious and beyond answering questions.
Not once the sensor drone reaches him and patches into his residual brainwave pattern.
At that, the computer sprang to life and the printer began spitting out the results. Optimus Prime was puzzled.
Slaves? A 200 square mile block of coal? What for?
As the Decepticon command ship blasted off, its enormous rocket drives created a dust storm the size of a large city. The lights from the control console cast an eerie glow across the evil impassivity of Megatron's face.
At least we no longer have to listen to the vile curses and screaming from those pathetic slaves,
he announced to Soundwave.
No, Master. They certainly weren't happy about being left sealed up with all that coal.
The slave's carbon base will soon join the carbon base of the coal, thus creating the largest lens in the universe. Normally it would have taken millions of Earth years and multi-tons of pressure to form the diamond I need. But with my genius and the force of the tons of lectinite, I shall create that crystal at the press of a button.
And with that, Megatron released an explosion, the force of which the world had never seen, not even in its most powerful H-bomb. The explosion left in its wake the largest diamond ever formed.
Attack anti-gravity lifters and secure crystal for towing, Soundwave.
Roger, Master.
The Decepticon satellite launching complex lay isolated, deep in the steaming jungles of Brazil's Mato Grosso. Megatron supervised the final laser cuts for the refraction surfaces on the monstrous diamond satellite.
T-minus 10 minutes to launch, Soundwave. Why are you looking so grim?
The humidity, Master. My cassette drives. It's as bad as the sand from the desert.
Have no fear. Soon we Decepticons will have all the oil we need to bathe and protect our drives and transmission. I cannot wait for each tiny puddle of oil on this miserable planet to fall into our hands. Therefore, with my crystal satellite, I shall have a lens powerful enough to focus the puny energy of that tiny sun and melt the entire mountain range they call the Rockies, turning it into an ocean of oil! And from that oil, my refineries will supply us with the fuel for the final defeat of the Autobots and the conquest of the universe!
But as Megatron spoke, he failed to notice Bumblebee, the hovering Autobot spy, surveying their activity. First, the rumble of pre-ignition began on the giant Decepticon crystal satellite propulsion vehicle. Then, the main ignition kicked in with a blast that sent shockwaves reverberating along the ground and through the jungle foliage and air alike. But as the launch vehicle began to rise, a superjet appeared.
Attack, brave Autobot Skyfire! Attack!
Optimus Prime ordered over the command channel, breaking radio silence.
Destroy Megatron and this newest tool of his evil imagination!
The explosive fury of Skyfire's null rays and missiles was too late, however, as the launch vehicle shrugged them off and rose up through the atmosphere into space.
Ah, Optimus Prime! You have met your match!
Megatron gloated as he detonated an explosive charge, destroying the launch complex. Then he and the Decepticons punched in their afterburners and made a strategic withdrawal to await the fruits of their foul plan. Never before had the Earth been so vulnerable and unsuspecting. And it was all a result of the diabolic design of the villainous leader of the Decepticons, Megatron. Having launched an enormous diamond lens satellite into space over the North American continent, he was now preparing to fix its position so he could bring the full extent of the sun's energy to bear and melt the Rocky Mountains into an ocean of oil. That oil would be used to fuel his corrupt pursuit of universal domination. Therefore, buried deep inside a remote location in Northeast America, Megatron and Soundwave concentrated at the controls in the Decepticon ground station as they made the final adjustments to the satellite.
2 second burn on the starboard attitude thruster,
Megatron ordered.
Roger, Master.
Shut down all engines.
Roger. All engines shut down at this time.
No, the satellite lens is in a fixed orbit over its target. When the first rays of the sun strike it, the fun will begin.
In the Autobot Command Center, Optimus Prime and Prowl, We're also monitoring these last movements of the Decepticon satellite as it assumed its stationary position far out in space.
That's it, Chief. It looks like they're on station. They've shut down all rocket engines.
Curious.
Here comes the sun. But wait! Look, Chief! The refraction facets of the lens are beginning to focus a beam of sunlight!
Optimus Prime interrupted with shock and disbelieving horror, understanding suddenly and full well the terrible weight of the consequences of Megatron's fiendish plan.
The energy of hundreds of millions of hydrogen bombs concentrated on a confined area like that is going to precipitate disastrous and deadly results.
That's a lot of heat, all right, Chief.
Millions will perish in the ensuing calamity of Megatron's debased thinking.
As the first scorching rays of the satellite's beam began to sear the mountains, the surface temperature of the ground jumped upward 10 times 1,000-fold. Entire forests immediately burst into violent flames, and tons of smoke and soot began to rain down on the continent. Then the rocks began to liquefy, slowly at first, secreting the moisture held tightly for eons within the granite and shale. Finally, sweating out the first signs of the precious black fluid so dear to Megatron's callous heart. Then the heat factor began to soar at a rate beyond imagination, and the last bastion of geologic formation wilted before it, changing from a solid state to a liquid. Streams of gaseous molten lava and oil flowed into rivers and then formed into lakes. The expanding sea of death threatened to engulf Los Angeles and the entire West Coast. At an ever-increasing speed, it also began moving eastward, menacing small desert towns as its volume doubled and redoubled. Not possessing the perfect weapon needed to destroy the satellite, and not having the luxury of time to come up with a variety of solutions, Optimus Prime quickly improvised. The lens was beyond Skyfire's range, because the fuel necessary to reach it was more than he could carry. But with Ratchet's mechanical wizardry, he was prepared to try something.
Isn't Skyfire ready, Prowl? What's holding things up?
Ratchet's good, Chief, but he's only mechanical.
Skyfire will be online as soon as Ratchet has the auxiliary booster tanks attached and fueled up.
Oh, that's it, Chief! Ratchet just gave me the go-ahead!
Once then! Immediately!
The Autobot Air Guardian roared into space, knowing he would not have enough fuel to return safely from his mission. And at his fuel limit, he released a barrage of null rays and missiles that concentrated in a mighty display of explosive power. In the Decepticon ground station, Megatron slapped Soundwave across the back so hard in a fit of glee that he almost popped Soundwave's cassette right out of his chest.
Did you see that? Not a scratch, not even close. They cannot touch us. Ha ha! Optimus Prime, prepare to meet your mechanic.
Absolutely all-powerful Megatron. And did you see how the Autobot superjet burned on re-entry into the atmosphere? That was nice, too.
But although time and options were limited, Optimus Prime still had a card up his sleeve. He had instructed Ratchet to weld together a square mile sheet of polished metal. And now, using electromagnetic lift, a squadron of Autobots was flying the metal sheet into position between the satellite lens and its focal point on the Earth's surface.
Look, Mighty Megatron,
Soundwave said in a confused manner as he pointed at the video monitor.
The Autobots are up to something funny with that giant metal
mirror! Oh, busted gears and cracked drive shafts!
Megatron screamed as the mirror intercepted the satellite's beam and bounced it spaceward again. The moment the reversed beam struck the satellite, it instantly exploded into millions of crystal shards with a force so tremendous that tides on Earth were raised 10 feet. And using a fix from Megatron's last desperate instructions to his creation, Optimus Prime launched an all-out attack of Autobots on the Decepticon ground station. Using special thermo-excavator missiles, they peeled open Megatron's underground lair like a tin can.
Optimus Prime, you metallic nemesis!
Megatron roared in his exposed fury.
One day I will remove the yoke of your existence from around my neck. I shall erase your very mechanical being from the face of the universe!
Master! Quickly! Into the turbine mole machine!
Megatron and Soundwave drove deep into the Earth in their escape, leaving only the tailings of the borehole and destruction behind them for the first Autobot scouts to find. For the moment, the planet was safe again. But the battle continues.
Thanks for stopping by the show today. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. You can head over to spacemonkeyx.net for pictures, links, and additional information about this episode, and check out some of the other podcasts presented by the Space Monkey X Audio Workshop. This has been your host, Rob Lamley. Thanks for listening to When You Hear This Sound, the podcast dedicated to the weird and wonderful world of read-along record books and storybook vinyl. I'll see y'all next time.